Gavlik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh boy, wowee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
This is the Super Footy Podcast.
And we're proudly presented by The Tab. Of course, who are you backing? Well, the buys are done and dusted. Round 15 is roaring up very quickly in view. My name's Sam Edmund. Now, the man to the left of your monitor as you listen to this podcast or your phone is John Anderson. The man to the right is Mark Robinson. And the man probably somewhere above us, below us, in front of us.
Above.
He's on the line anyway. He's definitely above us. Is Brian Taylor. G'day to you, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, boys.
Sammy. Making friends again on that roaming Brian. Brian?
What do you mean, Robbo?
Well, I want to play this to you, BT, before we get into it. Have a, as Damien cues it up, have a listen to this.
Now, what are you doing here, sir?
Just my job, mate.
Do you work for Sydney?
No.
What do you do?
Sydney Morning Herald.
Oh, you're a journo.
I am.
Ah, what's your name?
Vince Rigari.
What are you going to write about, Vince? What's the story out of this game?
Lance Franklin, I would have thought.
Yeah, absolutely. Second hamstring. Gee, that'd be another 4 or 5 weeks, wouldn't it?
I'm not a doctor, mate, but you're probably right.
keeping it to himself, his story.
Well, not everyone just adopting that sense of theatre there, BT.
What is wrong with that guy? Jeez, I thought he was a cleaner. I didn't know who he was. But anyway, he's a journo and he answered the questions reasonably well, except the medical part of it. You guys all know. Why couldn't he answer that?
Because he's not a doctor. What's he
doing? You know when he's done a hamstring.
Yeah, but he doesn't know the gravity of it. There's people who have done hammies that have been back next week and others have been out for 8 weeks. Vince was playing his cards close to his chest.
Let's be honest.
He's not a comedian either, Vincent.
No, he's not.
No, he's a serious young man who takes his job and himself very seriously.
It's only the TV commentators who think they're doctors. You guys assess injuries from the commentary box.
The clubs don't tell you the truth, so we might as well try and have a crack at it, I guess. That's why.
Hey, Brian, roaming Brian can be hit and miss. That's the nature of the beast, and that's why you sort of can't look away. But something that's...
Thanks, Sam.
No, it's out of your control, as we've discovered. But something that's in your control and is flying along, and I'd love to know the origins of it, and I'm going to maybe even insult the term here by impersonating it, but it's old boy. And it's gone completely gangbusters. It's on a commercial now, and... You're actually making money out of this phrase.
No, I don't make any money out of any phrases, but I think that was a Wayne Carey sort of thing that he sort of somehow conjured up or something, and I caught onto it.
So
and anything that anyone else has got that's any good, we tend to steal in this game. So, it'll be no good soon.
It was a song, I reckon, Sammy, oh boy, by an Australian artist called Diana Trask about 30 years ago. That's where he stole it from.
Oh boy, the mood I'm in. In missing him,
and it's not just the word, it's the way it's delivered as well. We like the delivery.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's the pause.
How did the footy weekend go, BT?
Footy weekend was interesting. Good to get the buys over, isn't it? Good to get them out of the way so we know where we are.
I think we get rid of the buys. I think we have a whole weekend off next year.
Easier, isn't it?
Are you hearing something there, Robbo?
I think the AFL would be looking at it. They want to. It's all going to be based around, I think, if they get up that mid-year draft trade period. They'll need 4, 5, 6 days to do that. My colleague on 360, Jared Waitley, suggested like it starts Thursday and finishes on the Tuesday. And you have the whole weekend off. There'd be plenty to be written about over the weekend with the trades. And I actually think it's a pretty good idea because I get sick and tired. Well, I don't even look at the ladder through those rounds. I look at your ladder, which you're right about, Ando. I look at it and read it. But I don't know. I don't look at the ladder on positions.
A big show in store here. We've got Geelong star Tommy Stewart's going to join us a little bit later on. And I want to talk coaches because isn't the future of several senior coaches now very firmly on the agenda as well? But we'll rip into good, the bad and the ugly. News just at hand, I don't think it fits into any of those baskets, is Michael Walters and Fremantle are going to join West Coast in challenging Michael Walters' headbutt on Jay Lockhart in that Melbourne game. We know Jeremy McGovern is going up as well to challenge that shove over there in Perth. We might go around the podcast room, as it were. They're challenging Ando. What do you think's going to happen here?
Michael Walters is guilty. I'm surprised they're challenging. The other one, I can understand West Coast challenging. Not sure they'll get it.
Robert.
Yeah, I reckon Michael Walters, chance to get off, but probably guilty. But McGovern definitely should get off. Absolutely. I mean, the Bell Chambers one was worse than the McGovern one. The McGovern one, he's not to know there's a chair there. The chair probably shouldn't be there in all intents and purposes. It shouldn't actually be on the playing arena, but that's not his fault that a chair was there.
Is it the fact that he got a free kick paid against him? Like, he got paid, the umpire said the push.
Late push, yeah.
That's illegal. It's an illegal act on the field. You can't do that. Yeah. It's like choosing
free kick, fair enough.
Yeah, it's a free kick. And because of that act, an illegal act, he hit the chair, but his head also hit the fence, okay? Should he be held responsible for committing an illegal act? Now, on a different level, you choose to bump and hit him in the head, you're held responsible. If you push a guy in the back and a free kick's played against you, should you be held responsible in some way if that guy gets shoved into the fence?
There was one earlier in the year with Jeremy Cameron, I reckon it was James Frawley.
He got flung into the fence?
At the MCG and pushed him into the fence, into his shoulder. I remember thinking at the time, he had shoulder issues. He got a week for that, I reckon, James Frawley.
Why does the injury, though, make any difference? By the way, Robert, if that were to happen and this was successful and they didn't win the appeal, the AFL was successful, then players would then, all of a sudden, they're in two minds. Do I go the spoil knowing I could be a second late? Yes, I might give away a free, but I still reckon it's worth it, you know, and push, not deliberately pushing someone in the fence, but contesting the ball on the boundary line. I mean, the boundary line's surely are far enough back that you should be able to contest on the boundary line.
And this might not be the popular view, but I'd be happy with Michael Walters to get off by virtue of the fact that it's really hard to see the level of force. It seems so minuscule.
100% with Ando.
But that's why they're challenging.
I'm yet to see it on video. I can't see a clear video that shows him doing it.
But clearly why the AFL think they will succeed is because they're taking the view of the umpire who was right on the scene, saw the full thing, and it's his evidence and testimony.
He was in a very good position.
Yeah, that's going to be damaging for Fremantle.
I think he's in real strife. I'm with Ando. Totally.
It's a feather duster to get your heart in that, wouldn't it be, too?
Headbutt, mate.
Yeah.
Headbutt.
Was it a brushing or a headbutt?
He put his head forcibly into another person's head.
So maybe that's where we disagree. I don't think there's much force in it at all from the vision that I've
seen. It was more of a grinder than a head.
Rare act on a footy field.
It's a brusher. No, and it is a nasty word, and it carries a lot of weight, as it should.
Was it a headbutt?
That's what I'm arguing.
No, I'm asking you.
I don't think so.
So what are you calling it?
Well, a brushing of two heads.
Instigated by one.
Yeah, instigated by one.
That's a headbutt.
But we see players get let off for insufficient force all the time. Anyway,
good news.
Yeah. So that boundary one, just before we leave the boundary one with McGovern, there would be no charge if he was not injured, would there?
No.
That's correct.
No.
Gee, that's amazing.
But we've been arguing this for a couple of years now. Is it the act or is it the...
I think it should be the act.
The penalty.
Because the act leads to the potential to damage.
I think actually that Jeremy McGovern should go for multiple weeks, BT, because Guelphy had to hop in a red cab to get to the hospital. I mean, that's worthy of a punishment in anyone's
mind. Boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
What a joke that is. Now, and for people to take that out of context in which it was delivered, talking about an ambulance, of course we don't need an ambulance for something that's minor, but guess what? Surely, someone in that brand new billion-dollar stadium is the designated driver for something like that. If it does happen and it's not of ambulance urgency, then there is someone there that is a designated driver from the West Coast Eagles or the stadium management that has the car already there, and you don't have to dial 13 11 13 for a taxi to then come in, get permission to get through the gate and go through all that crap. Surely we're past that. This is professional footy. Okay, I mean, would you put a superstar soccer player, would you put Lionel Messi in a taxi in
El Chapo?
We
get it. Have you ever had to put yourself in a taxi and rush yourself off the hospital?
I wish I had.
Yes. Yes.
BT.
Said I wish I had. I've nothing more needed from you.
Brian?
No, I haven't got a taxi, but my family took me to the hospital one day.
Yeah, I am.
You happy with that? Jeez, I forget about the
you?
Sea. Forget about the sea mist down there at Lawn. A bit of red mist into BT's house.
Tell you what, about some breaking news?
Yes.
That's come up.
Where are you going to take me?
Well, Alistair Clarkson.
Are we going to jump to the coaches?
Yeah,
okay.
Alistair Clarkson has just told his Hawthorn players, as revealed by Tom Scully, that he will not be going to Carlton.
No. Now, I could be cynical, Robbo, and say, not going to Carlton, but could he be going somewhere else? But he's not exactly going to tell his players, I'm not going to Carlton, and then go to...
He's already said multiple times.
Is that what he specifically said, Robbo, Carlton?
Yeah, he said, Tom Scully said, he told us this morning, he is not going to Carlton.
Yes, but he's not going to...
You guys are experts at reading language. How do you read that?
He's going nowhere. I actually thought last week when he spoke with us on 360, after hearing and sitting next to him as he said that, I just said, determined, he's staying. He's staying. Ben Dixon brought it up yesterday that he'd offer, well, Carlton should offer him $2 million.
In fairness to Ben Dixon, he was flying a kite.
Yes, he was.
Saying, I've heard this. He was just throwing it up there. And it then gets grabbed and reported. Yeah.
I had heard last week that he had made commitments to several off-field staff that he was going to be there for the long haul, and that had has a major effect on his decision, I would think.
And he's there to try and achieve his greatest feat in football, which is to achieve a third rebuild. And I think that's the hardest list he's had to work with by a fair way.
If he did achieve that, and we don't know how long it's going to take, but say he does achieve that, he will probably go down as the greatest coach. Certainly. I mean, we can't judge Jock McHale and all that.
Well, you can to a degree, Robbo, because Collingwood
numbers
and Norm Smith at Melbourne, those teams were largely successful the whole way through in a 12-team competition.
Yep.
That's a big part of it. 18-team competition, interstate travel has changed the landscape enormously. So West Coast flag in 1992 was a greater flag win than won 4 years earlier, because they're travelling so much.
But Jock McHale would have had to have rebuilt his team several times. He coached for 40 years. He's not keeping the same players.
Well, I think Jock McHale's greatest success was in the 20s and 30s.
Yep.
And probably a little bit before that. But he won four in a row at one stage, Jock, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. It was late 20s. But if Clarkson is able to do that, and I would think that inside Clarkson would be the fact... He's now won how many flags? He's now won four. Now, the people on four are David Parkin, Kevin Sheedy.
Ron Barassi.
The greats of the game.
Lee Matthews.
The absolute greats of the game. And I would think that Alistair Clarkson would think. Everyone says, oh, what's his challenge? The challenge is, personally for him, to rebuild for the third time and win a flag.
Hopefully he does it in a style that's aesthetically pleasing, because at the moment the Hawks are not a great side to watch.
We might come back to the coaches, because as I said off the top, the landscape certainly is ripening there, because we've got Wurzfeld at Essendon, of course, Richo, very uncertain future at St Kilda, and Longmire's playing out on an almost daily basis at the Swans. But the good, bad and the ugly, the good, the buys are over. Charlie Cameron and Port Adelaide, both goods from the weekend. Charlie Cameron's bag of five, super impressive. And then there was Port Adelaide, Ando. Now, I'd love to know the real identity of Ken Hinckley's mob, if I can put it that way, because their goodie's very good. But then they've chucked in a couple of stinkers as well.
Well, he got it right at selection table. When you drop
it's a big statement, wasn't it?
Powell Pepper, Ryder and Westhoff, you're making a massive statement. One of those players would be significant. That's like a Bryce Gibbs from Adelaide being dropped.
I think they're playing Sandful again this weekend, that trio, as well.
Well, so they should. Yep. Why would they get back in with the way that's – and that side beat Geelong up.
Yep.
That was the thing to surprise – I mean, I tipped Port Adelaide
they've
to win
done it
that
before,
game.
Mate. So I think Port thinks that they can get Geelong physically. I really do. And they go after them.
It's a good ploy from Hinckley. I reckon this whole thing of, you know, players have been getting games too easy, and there's been this attitude amongst players, coaches, staff, us, the media, that if you're a gun player, you just play in the seniors no matter what. And the dropping and demotion of players into reserve level seems to have gone by the wayside. I think it's a great motivator. I think there are many, many players in recent weeks that have had their minds reset by a little visit. Daniel Rioli's another one at Richmond, got dropped back to the VFL. I think it can reset you mentally, and I'm sure that's what he's trying to do with the three guys he dropped. I think it's a good ploy.
He spoke really, not harshly, really, really strongly last night, Kenny, about, oh, well, we've got to make hard decisions. If you're not performing, you're not playing.
But that club hasn't been performing. That club hasn't performed since it reached top four in his first or second year, 2013, I'm going to say. They lost a final to Geelong at the MCG in a really close game. And since then, they've been up and down.
Yeah, they've been up and down.
You don't know what to expect from Port Adelaide.
This all stemmed in the off-season for Kenny. when he decided to trade Chad Wingard. He loved Chad. He once told me, we had coffee 4 years ago, and I was just about to do my top 50, and he said, you should have Chad Wingard at 4 or 5. I said, come on, Kenny. He goes, I'm serious. He goes, he's that good, Chad Wingard. He loved him, mate.
Who'd they get for Wingard in that deal?
Burton.
Ryan Burton. How did he play the other
one? Oh, night? Superb.
I mean, to me, wasn't he? He was in the top five players.
Who else did they get? They got 15, which turned out to be 18, which was Xavier Dursma.
Yeah, and Dursma played well as well.
They haven't lost to any of the real ordinary sides. Probably Hawthorn lost 31 points a few weeks back, 3 or 4 weeks back. Every other loss has been Brisbane, who are playing pretty good football. Richmond, who early in the year, not too bad and will probably get better. Who else? Collingwood, Adelaide, Fremantle. So they haven't lost games that they shouldn't lose, Port Adelaide.
Let's jump into the bad. Robbo, you made the focus of your tackle column on Monday, Sunday night and Monday, footy in Victoria. Now take us through this one because we, if I can call it that, Victoria as a state occupy the two top positions on the AFL ladder. Where were you coming
from?
Yeah,
they do. Well, I'm just looking at the ladder and a great friend of ours, Brian James Tate, contacted me over the weekend and said, if this happens, we've got 8 of the 10 Victorian teams out of the 8. And the one of the teams, none of those teams are the most threatening.
Does that matter, though? Do we care about that?
Well, I don't know.
No, I'm playing devil's advocate.
We care come finals time because potentially we don't have finals in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And that is...
We've got the grand final.
Yeah, we'll always have that.
Yeah, but I don't particularly care. I like all the teams. I watch all teams. So it doesn't particularly worry me. But we're a Victorian-based news organisation.
It'll change, Robert.
It all changes.
There'll be 3 in the 8 soon.
There'll be 3. I agree. Richmond are going to come back.
The Tigers are coming.
Hang on. That was your dislike.
The most significant.
Yeah, I disliked it because we've got 10 teams here and 8 of them aren't. I don't think 7 of them certainly won't play finals. I think Sydney are the best performing team outside the 8 right now.
The most significant loss this year was Richmond's loss 2 weeks ago to Adelaide in Adelaide. And they had less than half a side in. And they took them the whole 4 quarters. And I thought, you add 10 players to that, look out. That was a magnificent effort, that.
Yeah, it was.
Pardon me, Ando. The ugly St Kilda's third quarter, I think it's fair to say, which leads us into the issues of the weekend. We'll come back to the coaches now. And Alan Richardson's future at St Kilda. Now, BT, Wayne Carey writes a column for The Age. And he last week said that he could be the coach of the year, Alan Richardson, all things considered. And he's since gone into bat for him very, very staunchly on talking footy and the like. They're 6-7, the Saints. Is this just all a bit of hot air with Richo, or is he seriously in a bit of strife?
It does sound like he's in a bit of strife, but I agree with Duck a lot of what he says, because when you think about it, I mean, 4 wins last year, they're already 6 years, so there's an improvement there. There's plenty of games to go. There's at least another 4 wins in the Saints. And you think about the players they've had out. Jack Stephen, 4-time best and fairest, hardly played much. Carlisle, hardly played. Hanbury, hardly played. McCartan, who's that long-term number one pick over the last couple of years, hasn't developed at all. I mean, through no fault of theirs. Geary, their skipper, Robert, even someone like Jack Bytel, who's one of their high draft picks, hasn't been able to get on the field and actually play. Now, surely that's something that the coach has little bearing over. I think he's actually going okay. I don't think he should be coach of the year. I think that's a bit extreme, but I think he's going well.
I was going to say, it'd have to be the only coach of the year contender who might be sacked a couple of months later.
Who is coach?
A
couple of weeks
later. I really like what Fagan's doing at the Brisbane Lions.
Robert, right now.
Right now?
Your coach of the year. And you give me yours too, Brian.
Oh, Jesus.
Robbo's thinking. Well, you both think it's taking a long way. Just come off the top.
Come on, Robbo.
No, I would go with Chris. Personally, I'd go with Chris Scott.
Chris Scott's lost 2 games, 1 by 4, 1 by 11 points.
To borrow Duck line. I got to go back to where I had Chris. I didn't have Geelong in the 8.
Yep. I said 4 weeks ago, Stuart Jew, and I'll stick with Stuart Jew as the coach of the year.
Okay. No,
They've had one game.
Stuart Jew coach of the year.
How many games? 3 games. Because
Ando.
You on this same podcast,
come on, Ando,
told us all after round one they would not win a game for the year. Now, not
oh,
only
oh
that,
boy.
They've won 3 games. They've been competitive, highly competitive, every game bar one. which I think was the West Coast. Have a look at their injury list. It's longer than your arm.
Oh, boy.
And this bloke has still got him playing football every week.
Competitive.
He has been magnificent.
Goodness gracious. That is a really, really good argument. But no, it's not. I won't go with it, but it's a really good argument. Enormous couple of weeks for Richardson and John Boyceville. Absolutely enormous. Did you guys think Simon Lethlean hung Richardson out a little bit in his Sunday interview? Or did you think, okay, now we all know what the situation is?
I think he was honest and preparing St Kilda supporters for what is to come.
He'd run it past him, surely. He told him that was... I think that's consistent with
betray.
What...
I think that's
he been...
Could not
surely, surely, yeah. surely he wouldn't say anything publicly that he hasn't said to Richo.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you would have thought. And speaking of things that are said publicly, what about we turn back to John Longmire? Now, Liam Pickering saying this morning on radio that on SEN that he'd in fact taken an official call, if we can call it that, from North Melbourne. It was from the chairman, Ben Buckley, of course, a former teammate of Liam Pickering's, to sound him out about John Longmire. So North has made it official.
Nobody from North Melbourne's contacted you yet?
No, I've had a call. I've had a call from North.
Oh, you have? Yeah. So that's been the development in the last week.
Well, I'm not really that surprised that I've had a discussion. I thought it would come, and I got a phone call from their president. Yeah.
How long did the phone call go?
Well, it was an ex-teammate of mine. We had a good old chin wag.
How long did the
Oh, it just went for a 5-minute period. It's all good, just to say what's going on, and I told him what was going on.
So was that to table an offer or
no? Just to have a discussion,
to sit down again at another time.
I don't know where it'll end up, but...
Do they have to contact Sydney based on that?
I'm sure they probably did.
Do you know that they did or not?
Oh, I'm not 100% sure, and I'm not getting into that.
You should contact.
You should check it out. Follow up with your sources. But I did have a discussion with Benny, but I mean, he is an ex-teammate of mine. Yeah. I know him pretty well. I played with him for 5 years, so that's not a real surprise. But, apart from that, discussions with Sydney, where it's all going good.
I'll pretend I'm Ben Buckley and you be Liam Pickering. G'day, Liam. You be Sam.
Hey, Bucks.
Sam, you.
G'day, Bucks.
G'day, mate.
How can I help you?
Just ringing up about Johnny Longmire.
Yep,
I know it's
him.
Not official, but we might. we're prepared to go 5 years. And what's Sydney going? What's Sydney planning?
Well, it doesn't really matter what you say, Bucks. This is fantastic because I'll use this as magnificent leverage and it'll just allow me to extract even more money.
I don't think it's off the table. Let's be serious. I don't think it's off the table.
No, it's not.
Now, I think...
Where does John Longmire... Where do you think he wants to coach next year in an ideal world?
Here's the thing. I reckon this has got to be going through John Longmire's mind. So what's he been, 10 years or so at Sydney? I think he's been there in total 17 or something, some incredible amount of years. He would be thinking to himself, if I continue at Sydney, I'm not sure which way this team's going. And I could get the flick in 1 or 2 years' time. I'm not sure whether I can rebuild this club. I'm not sure whether, Buddy Franklin's going to retire in 2 years, that sort of thing. So wouldn't you think that North Melbourne or any Melbourne club for that matter, it doesn't have to be North, that a 5-year guaranteed deal, and when you get to that end of the 5 years, we all know it's probably not enough and he's a good coach, so he's going to go beyond that. So really, effectively, he would be signing a 10-year deal with North Melbourne instead of a 2 or 3 year deal with Sydney that may have a question mark on it.
Another strong argument.
What about the respective lists of these sides? That is the one thing you look at most when you're a coach and his manager. I would argue that Sydney has unearthed more youth this year than North Melbourne.
Yep.
North Melbourne's list is old, mature, and they should be playing finals this year. And then
that's why you'll get 10 years, Ando.
He's not going to get 10 years.
What John Longmire has said has not convinced me that he's staying at Sydney.
That's true, but that's all part of the game, I would argue.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
It's
impossible. We're all looking for the outside.
He wants to stay at Sydney. That's my mile. If he gets the same offer at Sydney or close enough to it,
he stays.
He stays at North.
Here's the one thing with him. Family is a big thing. Remember his kids, teenage kids, they were born and bred in Sydney, brought up in Sydney. He's a Melbourne person. Well, he's from Coral, but he's basically a Victorian. But his family were brought up in Sydney. It'll be hard to go because of that reason.
So where will he be next year? Ando?
Sydney.
Sam? BT?
I reckon he's going.
I'm with you.
I wonder if the Kangaroos are chasing the wrong John at Sydney and they should be going for Blakey and not Longmire.
Oh, come on.
No, I don't know if that's going to happen.
Well, if they don't get Horse, would they go Blakey? Who knows? We'll see how that all...
All I know, what I do
Johnny
know.
Johnny Blake is a good assistant.
What I do know is from day one, John Longmire had the North Melbourne job if he wanted it. Now, when John Longmire says no, the list below John Longmire is very wide.
And it could include a bloke called John Blakey who might say, if I come.
Nick comes.
I've got a son called Nick who can play just a little bit. He might come with me.
Brian just told us John Blakey probably can't be a senior coach.
I'm not agreeing with Brian.
Well, Brian's not a doctor. He's not a doctor.
I didn't say can't coach. I just think some guys are good at doing the senior role, assisting a coach, and you gotta know your limitations, you blokes.
You're basing that on how you knew John Blakey as a player who was a really underrated, quiet, low-key,
yeah.
No frills.
Come on, Brian.
I'm basing it
on lots of things, like being able to sell the club, a Sydney market. Are they going to go for John Blakey? No, they're not.
All right. Let's talk about the Cats quickly, because we've got Tommy Stewart coming up later on, the star defender. This post by form, I mean, is this just a furphy, a bit like the Kennett curse? Is there a bit more into it? They're 0-8 in the last 8 years coming off a week rest.
Not just that, but as Jimmy Bartel correctly pointed out, it extends to the finals where Geelong's been embarrassed.
I think.
Unbelievably embarrassed in three finals games in the last 4 years.
They're 3-9 since
coming
the 11 flag.
Yeah.
Coming off a break.
I'm talking about coming off a break. So it has to be an issue.
Righto, Brian.
Purely coincidental.
What is it? What is it? Minds? Is it mentally? Is it physically? It's got to be mentally, doesn't it?
Oh, I think it's a bit of a coincidence. But yeah, if you do want to go down the track, it has to be mental. Has to be mental. Can't be anything else.
Haven't they made really slow starts in a lot of those games, though, Ando? The first quarter particularly has been the most.
The finals have been blitz. Sam,
off a week rest.
Having said that, Brian just said then with Port Adelaide, the Port Adelaide game not come after a bye. Had it just been round 13 or 14, whatever it was. I still think Port would have got Geelong. Geelong was gettable at that time, and they Port at home and all the rest of it. But it would have to be in their minds. You can't escape that.
Five minutes into any game, if you're a Geelong footballer coming off a bye, 5 minutes into any game, you're not even thinking about it, are you?
No, you're not then.
Well, you may not be thinking, but your body may be reacting differently.
I tell you what, they will be thinking about it, Ando, in September. You know why? Because every media organisation will be talking about it.
Yeah. I don't want to preempt anything here, Ando, but Worsfold's under pressure. Richo's under pressure. Lots of people are under pressure. It's time for your weekly pressure gauge. Who's under the pump?
I'm a bit boring. If you're going, Richo has to be almost 95% at the moment. Brian's an old teammate of Alan Richardson's and loves him as a bloke.
Is that why he's scoffing?
Yeah, he is. He's defensive of him, and that's fair enough, as I'd expect him to be. If he's got any sense of loyalty in him.
If he's a good bloke, he would support Alan Richardson.
Yeah, well, he is supporting Alan Richardson. Yeah. But Alan Richardson, the way I read it, and I've been in the Caper for a while, I don't think he's going to be coaching for a lot longer. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think so.
If they decide, in my opinion, what St Kilda have to decide, and it's amazing after 5 years and 14 weeks that they haven't got a grasp on whether he's going to coach next year or not, and it all depended on the next 10 weeks. Once they decide Richo's not the man, he's got to be cut. That might be in 2 weeks. Sorry, Alan, you're not our man.
The third quarter on Saturday, that's the type of quarter.
That's the type of quarter you look back and say, that was it. That was the time. Now, if they get beaten badly on Friday against, Sunday, that'll be, but if it's going bad, they've got to tell him. Richo might not see out the year. But at the same time, if they win the next 3 weeks, I actually believe Lefleen when he says, if we win games and show improvement and competitiveness, he said Richo will coach his team next year.
They're 6-7, guys.
And make
They're
the
6-8.
Yeah. And make the 8.
No, I think that's been dropped.
Beach side in finals.
I think that trigger, which is an amazing trigger. That trigger was actually made 2 years ago. I didn't know that. I thought it was put in this year. It was made 2 years ago.
Yep.
That's too high for a team coming off a four-win season last year. That's far too high.
And based on what BT told us before.
All the injuries. He's been sensational this year, Alan Richardson.
He handles himself well, doesn't he? As do you, Brian. We better let you go and chuck some more logs on the fire down there. She's a bit nippy.
Oh, it's beautiful down here. What a day down here on the Great Ocean Road today.
Oh, okay, Gee. Knock it off.
We might have...
We might have our end of year down there.
You can get out and watch the big fella surf. He gets on the board.
Oh boy.
Anyone in his way, get out of my way. So all these little kids are out
there.
Tell
you what, the people driving on the Great Ocean Road and the lack of overtaking ability is really frustrating me to the max.
Just one more eyeball before we let you go.
Oh, boy.
Oh, very nice. Brian Taylor, thanks a lot.
See you, boys.
All right. Lads, we'll take a quick break. On the other side of this one, we're going to have a chat to Tommy Stewart.
Little favour. Stewart! Hey! Stand and deliver and stand on your feet for Tom Stewart. The widest of smiles as he takes the second best mark of the round.
Have a look at the Cheshire Cat. Grin on him, too.
Well, it's a great pleasure here on the Super Footy podcast to be joined by Tom Stewart. What a story he is. Geelong star defender, All-Australian. He joins us on the line. John Anderson, you've got, as soon as I mentioned this man's name, your eyes just lit up.
I smiled, actually, because I interviewed Tom. Was this your fourth year, Tom?
Yeah. That's my third year.
Third year. So I was into your first year, and you did an interview with me. And I remember you were a little bit nervous in fairness at the time, just a boy from South Darwin who had this old journo ringing him up. But you handled it with aplomb just as you have the rest of your career. And now the club puts you up all the time as spokesman. Do you like doing this sort of stuff?
I don't know if it's still a bit different for me to do this stuff, but I just try my best and just try and be myself, and I suppose that's why people maybe like talking to me.
All right, Tommy, what's going on with this bye issue then? Because a heap has been made of it, of course. You weren't there for a lot of them, but the facts are that you haven't won off the bye for 8 years. I mean, is it a quirk, or do you reckon there's something there?
I suppose there is something. It's been 8 years in a row now, so we can't really hide behind what's going on. We just have to address it, and we've got an opportunity at the end of this year to hopefully go again after the post-season bye. But, yeah, it's something we have to address and something we have to make sure we knock over.
So you do address it. So that's something leading into the Port Adelaide game that would have been spoken about, how you approached the week off?
We spoke about it after the Richmond game, yeah. We just obviously identified the fact that we have been poor post-bye. We just identified it after the Richmond game. And then apart from that, we moved on fairly quickly and just focused on, first and foremost, having a mental refresh without too many days off. And then, moving on to Port Adelaide pretty quickly.
I'm interested in you. You're a Geelong boy. What do you do when you have your break, Tom? Do you get down to the beach and pull the stick out or take the dogs around?
I'm with my fiancée. We headed up to Byron for 4 days. We spent a couple of days up there just relaxing and just spending some time together because, as a lot of AFL players would know, their partners sacrifice a lot more than we probably do. They probably don't do as much as they would like to during the year and these sorts of things. So I thought we'd get away for a few days, and it was really nice to just spend some time with her.
When's the wedding? When's the big day?
October. So after the season this year. So it's all coming around pretty quickly, and it's a very exciting time for myself and my partner.
It's a pretty big question to ask, Sam.
What?
When they get married. Are they engaged? Did you know they were engaged?
Yes.
I know, I didn't know that. I've asked a lot of players in my time, Tom, you know, how's your girlfriend? And they often say to me in an interview, I don't put that in. I don't know if it's going to last.
I did just say that she was my fiancée, so.
I missed that. Sorry,
have you been hands-on in the planning process there, have you, Tom? Or you just leave that up to greater minds?
A little bit of A, a little bit of column B, but I like to think I've helped her as much as I can. Obviously, say yes to most things that she suggests, just to keep it smooth, nice smooth sailing.
Well, you're 11-2. It's been a remarkable season at this point for the Cats, I think it's fair to say, compared to what most so-called experts had you pegged at this stage of the season. A big part of that is the defence. It's the best in the competition so far. How have you guys gelled so spectacularly? Because there's a great synergy required in the back six to make it work.
I suppose we spent the time just off the field as well as training together, just getting to know each other and really, as most back sixes would say, just showing a lot of care and actually genuinely enjoying playing together. I think we spent a fair bit of time last year getting that mix right with a couple of new faces in, but I think the solidity we've had with basically the same seven players playing every week has been a benefit for us, and a healthy list is obviously one that's going to be quite competitive. So the fact that we've had, I mean, up to this point, not many injuries in that back half has been probably a major strength.
And what's the social calendar look like for the back six or seven? What do you do to bond together away from the field?
We have a lot of dinners together. We just spend time. We watch the State of Origin the last couple of weeks and watch the basketball and all those sorts of things together. So just any time we get a chance to just hang out and if we're still on the plane, we'll try and sit together and these sort of things. So any opportunity we can, we just try and spend some time.
I spoke to someone recently, Tom, who's closely connected with your football club. I said, what's the difference this year with previous seasons? And the response was nothing huge other than the fact we are really having fun. We go to the club to enjoy it at all times, and we're very conscious of that. Is that something you're aware of?
Yeah, certainly. We understand we're in a really high-pressure industry and obviously a results-based industry, but if we can enjoy it as much as we can, because we are in a really lucky position, as every AFL player is, to do what we love and get paid to do it is something that not many people in the world get to do. So the fact that we get to front up every day to an awesome facility and work with some amazing people is something you can't take for granted. So the fact that we get to do that is, there's no reason not to have fun with it. Obviously, be serious when we have to, but at the same time, like, if there's time to let your hair down and enjoy each other's company, then do it.
Hey, off-field, you've got a couple of dogs. What types have you got?
I've got one dog at the moment. He's a golden retriever named Sonny.
Why Sonny?
Sonny.
It was my grandfather's nickname, and also because he's golden, so it sort of fits it.
Is your grandpa still alive? Was he able to see you when you made your debut? And has he watched you play, seen your football?
Nah, so he passed away when I was about 3 months old.
Oh, right, and you still named him after your grandfather when you got a dog. That's a wonderful decision.
Oh yeah, I mean, it was an easy decision, and if my partner allowed, I'll probably name my first son after him as well. He's a man who, without knowing him at all, played a massive role in my family's life and is well-respected and obviously always spoken about in our family.
I was going to say, so who drives the memory of your grandfather?
All of his kids. So my mum's one of six. So all of those, they all instilled the values of just being a close family and these sorts of things. So try and keep in contact as much as we can. Obviously, it's difficult living all over different parts of Australia and these sorts of things. But, we're a pretty tight-knit group on that side of the family.
You got the Crows at home this week. I don't think the Crows have won down there for, and I think it's like 15, 16 years. So you're back on familiar ground there. But take us through the home ground advantage. A bit's been said about the Cats maybe getting a home final this year, as has been the case occasionally in the past. Is that something the players would relish, would think about, care about even?
I don't think necessarily it's too much of an advantage. I mean, it's only 45 minutes from Melbourne. It's not like we're travelling a major distance. But in terms of the finals thing, I suppose you play the grand final on the MCG, so whether it is an advantage or a disadvantage to play at Geelong is one that is obviously up for a fair discussion, but I'm a firm believer in you have to play your best footy on the MCG. So if we play there, we have to play our best footy, which I think, as the record shows this year, we've been quite strong there. So we just need to keep improving and keep playing well there.
Has life changed for you? You go from South Bowen boy, just a local, having a few beers after the game and training a couple of times a week. And suddenly you're an All-Australian player, and you know everywhere you go, people know who you are. I mean, I don't think Tom Stewart's changed as a person, but do you look now after footy, what am I going to do? Has that varied for you? Were you a carpenter originally?
Yeah, I was a chippy. But not too much has changed for me as a person. Obviously, my occupation and the way I go about things in terms of football has changed, but I'm very lucky. I didn't have to move away from home or move away from my friends and my family, so I think that's helped me in quite good stead when I do have those down days, as a lot of footballers do, that I just have to drive 5 minutes around the corner and see some of my best friends and some of my family members. So I think that's the one advantage that I've had, not having to move, and just understanding that the Geelong Footy Club and the Geelong Club in itself holds such a special place in a lot of people's heart in the community. So to be able to represent them as a person and a footballer has been something that I've really enjoyed over the last few years, and hopefully I have a few more years left in me.
Tom, I've got a dog. I'm thinking about getting another one. If you win the premiership for Geelong this year, I'll happily name it Tom or Tommy. The one I've got at the moment is called Chappie, who's named after a bloke called Paul Chapman, who you may not have met.
I'll turn it down, yet.
And I've told Paul Chapman I named the dog after him, and Chappie said, "What breed is it?" I said, "What breed should it be?" And he said, "A pit bull." It was named after me. And I said, "Well, Border Collie." He said, "That's Jimmy Bartel or Gary Ablett, not me." But,
so you're going to do it. You're going to get a second dog and call him Tom.
If we win the flag.
Fantastic. Well, I know, Ando, you're not the only person on this phone line that wishing that. Obviously, Tom Stewart will be doing his utmost. Tommy, big game against the Crows this Friday night. You're looking very snug there on the top of the ladder despite the loss. Thanks for joining us on the Super Footy Podcast.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Amos, guys.
Great to have your company here on the Super Footy Podcast, powered, as always, by The Tab. Who are you backing? And speaking of The Tab, it's a great pleasure to welcome the man about town. The regular guest is Jared Daffy. Welcome to you, Jared.
Hello, Sam.
Great to have your company. Now, three big betting games this week. I know you've got them locked and loaded there. What do you got for us?
Yeah, actually, things return to some sort of normality this week, don't they? And the first one on Thursday night, it's a big game. A lot of talk around about Essendon and the coach there. And there's been a bit of support for them. They've been 255 into 250. The GWS here, $1.53. The line, 11.5 points. I suppose one thing worth mentioning here is that when GWS do travel, there's always money for their opponents. So that might explain a little bit of activity there. Hawthorn have got some love. They're $2.60 outsiders, but there's been a bit of money for them to beat the West Coast, who are $1.50, and the line there, 12.5 points. And quite possibly the game of the round is on Sunday. It's at the Gabba, where Brisbane have been very, very heavily supported to beat Melbourne, probably finish Melbourne's season if it's not already finished. $1.52 the lines, on track to get a finals berth. Melbourne out to 255, and again, a handicap line there of 12.5 points. So some really interesting games coming up.
So, Jared, what about the flag market? What's that looking like? Because it's not every day the top of the table Cats get knocked over, and then Collingwood are in second. They're spluttering a bit as well. What's the premiership market looking like?
Look, it's a good point, Sam, because I think up until last week we sort of conceded that Geelong would probably go on and win. So there's a little chink in the armour there. They were $3 last week. They're out to $3.50. Collingwood $4 into $3.75, so they're close by. Greater Western Sydney at $5.50. West Coast is an interesting one. They won, and of course Geelong lost. Last week there was a $10,000 bet placed with Tab on the West Coast at $7. As you can see, they're a better quote at $7.50. Adelaide at $13, Richmond $17, and Brisbane Lions, speaking of them and their form, and also Port Adelaide back in form last week, both $34, a spattering of support for both of those this week. So it's sort of all opened up now on the back of that loss by Geelong last week.
And what does the Brownlow market look like when the bye period's on, obviously? Not all every star of the competition's playing every week. I'm not sure if that has an effect on it, but what's the Brownlow market looking like at the moment?
It's a wide open affair, quite possibly the widest open that we've had at this stage of the season for many, many years. We've got Patrick Cripps, the favourite, at $4.50 ahead of Nat Fyfe and Tim Kelly at $5. Lockie Neal at $6, Paddy Dangerfield $7. So they're all the ones under $10. But a couple of others have shortened right up. Brody Grundy's into $11. And Travis Boak from Port Adelaide, $13. I went back and had a look. He was a 500-1 pop before the season started. Wow. So basically written off, no hope before the season started. And all of a sudden, here he is in the top 10 in betting. So he's a $13 pop now, Travis Boak, in the big mover. But Patrick Cripps, still a favourite at $4.50.
No, you're right. That's a fascinating watch, the Brownlow market, as is all the markets there at The Tab. Thanks for joining us, Jared Daffy.
Thanks, Sam.
You've been listening to the Super Footy Podcast for Tab. Who are you backing? It was a big round 14, could be a bigger round 15. We'll see you back here very soon.